good evening, everybody, and I'm going to be continuing on with my Fruit of the Spirit study. This will be Fruit of the Spirit number 9, and actually it's going to be my second series in that of the truth. My last study was on truth, so I guess this will be truth number 2 in Fruit of the Spirit number 9. That's for the confusion of Chip, to help him out on his end of it. This is February 6, 2018. And just want to tell everybody it's been a beautiful day here. We finally got over the crud here, so to speak. I might have a little cough left over. But my mother-in-law, she's kind of struggling right now. I think she's in the middle of what we had. So it's working its way through the Anderson group of the CBG group. So the Oconee County people better stay away. We're kind of infectious down here for the most part. But Sunday, Barney said that, speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, mentioned that it's an acid testing with our life with the fruit of the Spirit is an acid testing. And you know, that there's a whole lot to that, because the environment that we're in today, you could really see where acid testing would come. It would be a good word. Because it is toxic as far as the government, as far as daily lives, as far as what's being spewed in the world. So I think that was a pretty bold statement about being a acid test, the fruit of the Spirit, and how it works with the body member as being tested. And I totally agree with that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and all the blessings that you give us in it. Those things that we see, and especially those that we don't. Lord, there's a lot of sickness going on, Lord. We ask that you be with all those that are sick. We ask that you give them the strength to get through it and the rest that they need to also recover. Lord, we're thankful for that you did on the cross, Lord, and that you did from before the foundation. And Lord, we're thankful for all that you do, because Lord, we know that you are the Almighty God, and you can heal anytime you want, and you can give strength, you can give comfort. Lord, and we rest in that. Lord, be with me as I open this message tonight, that it be to the edification of the body, and it be, as has been spoken of, one of the other speakers said, it's not my words, Lord, but yours. And Lord, I ask that your will be done and not mine. For it's in your precious holy name I pray. Amen. And Ephesians 5, 9, and 10, as I'm sure you probably already got it remembered by now, says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is also associated with our walk, because the direction of your walk is determined by the mindset and heart of the body. By having the proper mindset, producing the Christ-led fruit of the Spirit, the body, whether it's the body of Christ or a Christian believing John 3:16 believer, will automatically walk the path of righteousness. One could say that these virtues mentioned are a heart issue, and they're right. But the mindset and the heart are so closely related, they are the two most important organs in the body. When either one malfunctions, the body is useless. Looking at all the virtues that are written on my heart-shaped word cloud that has been passed around, You can see where the mindset comes first by the following of Christ's direction. Then all else falls into place. The whole thing is shaped like a heart, and Christ is the center of it. The inner strength that a Christ-led fruit produces has more strength than any human imaginable. The body member draws from the strength of the Spirit, hence fruit. To remind the listener, the true reading that is of the oldest manuscripts reads, "It's the fruit of the light," here in Ephesians 5, 9, and 10. It says, "For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord." The goodness here is godly virtues. Righteousness here is Christ's direction. And truth is His Word. Because, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, in my opinion, is the piece of the pie of the fullness of Him. This is just one part that fills Him, is the fruit of the Spirit. It works throughout the body of Christ. Paul, in the prior dispensation on the other side of Acts 28, teaches a renewing of mind. But now, through the fruit of the Spirit, you are alive. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, the book of Romans is mostly the great subject is the revelation of God's wrath against sin. Chapter 12 through 15 is practical teaching. And 12, 1 and 2 reads, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Then you get to "but now," on this side of the Acts 28, in Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of this light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." In continuing my fruit in the Spirit study, I'm still studying the word truth, the character of the saint of God or body member, whether in Ephesus or in modern times, is encouraged to live a virtuous life in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and use these three virtues here as a guide in their everyday life. On both sides of Acts 28, truth in itself has honesty and a pure heart interwoven into the building blocks of the individual, if that makes sense. How else can one be true and not be honest with themselves or God? In Titus, we learn that God cannot lie. So anything coming from God is true. In Titus 1, 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Truth is only truth if it can be backed up with factual evidence, whether scientific or actual events that happen and witnessed by the person that it happened to. We have prophets of the Old Testament that witnessed events that only God could have performed, like making the sun go back several hours, the plagues of Egypt because of the Exodus, Balaam and the talking ass, the crossing of the Red Sea, Christ feeding 5,000 with five loaves of bread, raising children and Lazarus from the death in different times. And the biggest one of all is Christ raised from the dead to everlasting life. This was prophesied. It came to true. It came to be. These are truths that we, as Bible-believing, Bible-thumping, believing Christians, take by faith as truth. Because we believe God and His written word, which is truth. And John 17:17 says that. But I'm going to read 12 through 19 because it's one of the most, it is the most beautiful prayer in Scripture. This is Christ speaking. Speaking to God. It's personal prayer. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, leading more truth into the scripture. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. As thou hast sent them, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify them myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Different religions have followers who believe the teachings of that religion because it falls in line with either their lifestyle or desire or their sense of being, even if there's no factual scriptural evidence behind it, rightly divided. But those individuals believe it as truth, but in fact it's not. That's the problem with truth. You could get a lunatic is going to believe what they believe is truth, and to them it is. A habitual liar is going to believe everything they say is truth. But unless it can be backed up, if they speak it scriptural, speak it as scriptural, if it can't be backed up by the Word of God, then there's no truth to it. The first thing a Christian believes on is God. Being the creator of everything, gave his only begotten Son, born of a virgin through the Immaculate Conception, to die on the cross for the salvation of all mankind that believe on him. Scripture is true. Now in Daniel 10, Daniel has done been fasting for 21 days. And in this, an angel comes to him and tells him he's going to explain his visions to him. But I'm just going to read Daniel 10:21 and the CB note that goes along with it. But the angel speaks of Michael helping him against the prince of Persia. And as I understand it, the prince of Persia is Satan, as they're fighting back and forth for Israel. Daniel 10:21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael. This is your prince, the archangel. And the person, the angel speaking this, in the commentaries, they're believing that it's possibly Gabriel. But there's no name given throughout that chapter as to who the speaker is. It could be the Lord, as far as I understand. Noted in the Scripture of Truth, in the sacred book of God's secrets, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, in Psalms 139:16, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In Revelation, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof, which are truth, that is, the things which shall most assuredly come to pass, being determined by God. Again, comparing John 17:17. And it says, sanctify them through thy truth. But when you look in the Darby version of this, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Definite article. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it's the character of Paul's ministry. Chapter 6, 1 through 7 of 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold now the accepted time. Behold now the day of salvation. And this is quoted from Isaiah 49:8. And 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approve ourselves as the ministers of God. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in laborers, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, in verse 7, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. This is truth. This is God's word. It's the armor of righteousness. It's the sword of the Spirit. In Psalms 33:4, we read, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. The revealed word of God, the law of God, is right. Its precepts are holy, just, and good. Its sanction or penalty is righteousness, is righteous. It is impartial unto all. It is just in condemning the wicked and in acquitting believers on the account of Christ's perfect righteousness, by which it is magnified and made honorable. The gospel part of the word is right. It publishes right and good things. It directs to the right way, to heaven and to happiness. It makes men right when it works effectually in them. It engages them to walk in right ways. And its doctrines are right or planned or plain to them that have the spiritual understanding given them. And all this is matter of joy and praise. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, Paul teaches how the law is written in the Christian's heart. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stones, but in fleshly tables in the heart. These are oracles written in a Christ-driven heart of the Spirit. And all His works are done in truth. His works of creation are done in truth of things with the utmost exactness and accuracy, and are a wonderful display of His power, wisdom, and goodness. His works of provided providence are according to the counsel of His own will, and are done in the wisest and best manner. And His work of redemption is a proof of His veracity and faithfulness, and His covenant oath and promise. And His Christ's work of grace upon the hearts of His people is truth in the inward parts, and which, as Christ has promised to carry on and finish, Christ is faithful and will do it. In short, His way of acting both towards the godly and ungodly agrees with His promises to the one and His threatenings to the other. And so is in truth. The whole of this is the reason why the saints should praise the Lord. When Christ is the foremost and center of the saints' walk, their life is seen by others as witness. Purity. Just their life, their actions, the way they carry themselves, the way they speak to others. It's a witness. They don't have to say that they're a Christian. Their fruit of the light is displayed without having to express anything. But can a person believe Christ and be saved to a resurrection and have a heavenly resurrection also? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in Scripture can only come from right division. Traditional churches throughout time or denominations constantly pick one verse and base their entire belief or covenant on it without studying the context of the verse. When a member of the congregation takes a vow to be a member of the church, I might be wrong, but this is the way I feel. When a member of that congregation takes a vow to be a member of that church, they're saying to the surrounding community and God, "This is my foundational belief." And in doing so, write their own treaty with Christ as to their resurrection hope. And they don't even know what that is. Because being one who studies right division sees more than one resurrection. The scripture left to take place, can the majority of modern day denominational practicing church member say or see that? Anyone within earshot of this message needs to understand what you believe in your heart the moment you take your last breath. Because it's what Christ will judge you for in the resurrection. Which resurrection? You could ask a denominational member that, and they'll just look at you and say, "My resurrection." Without any defined example of when that's going to be. One example of how denominational churches misuse Scripture by not dividing rightly is in Philippians 4:5. Now I'm going to read 4-9. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." They take this verse right here and say the Lord is coming soon. He's going to come any day. In verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, and goes on to say honest and just and lovely and good report, all these other examples are part of the fruit of the Spirit. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In verse 5, the Lord is at hand is a prime example of how modern day churches miss the boat and say literally, because they constantly use this verse as saying the Lord's coming soon. David in the Psalms gives a perfect example of this rendering at hand. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him in truth. In Psalm 145:18. How much more near can the Lord be if one holds these truths continual in their heart? In Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. How much closer can He be than that? How near is Christ to the believer when they see that? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in every saint that believes and worships in truth. Notice I said truth. What more could one rejoice in knowing that Christ is in you? Show shame, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says, thyself, study to show thyself approved unto, before, in the presence of God. This verse to us, those that I'm looking at on the screen, understand this perfectly, better than I do, that this is the fundamental belief that a saint needs to understand to hold the mystery truth. Because if you can't rightly devise Scripture and put it in its proper place, what resurrection will you really have? In Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The sealing is a done deal. It can't be taken away from you. I'm going to finish up with Colossians 1:1-6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints. And here's the verse. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit of the Spirit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Thank you, and that's my study on truth for today. And I hope you all were as blessed with the presentation as I was as putting it together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, for this day and for all the saints that was able to listen in. And Lord, we ask that you be with all those dear saints that might be suffering at home sick or traveling. Be with all those, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for this truth. Thank you for this truth that's been saved from generation to generation and given us the Spirit to see this truth, to hold this truth, and to devour this truth and to make this truth us, to give us the light of this truth. For it's in all these things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.